We'll now hear our morning scripture.
Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 35. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it."
This is the heart of Jesus' teachings. He was the Messiah, the Christ. And he had come to understand that this involved not just his living and teaching, but also his suffering and dying. His disciples didn't understand. Simon Peter tried to argue him out of it. Surely God's chosen one was meant to live, to liberate the people from oppression, to restore the kingdom of Israel, to make the world right. Jesus harshly rebuked him. Jesus didn't want that temptation because Peter was speaking from the human perspective, not God's perspective. Jesus was speaking from a whole different level, a wholly different consciousness. Whoever will save their life will lose it. Whoever will lose their life will save it. It is the paradoxical truth at the heart of most spiritual traditions. Dying to the small self, to the ego, to the purely physical, self-centered way of being in the world. Moving beyond our little minds into the larger mind, the expansive awareness, the unitive consciousness, living in oneness with all that is. Coming to recognize the great web of life and realizing our tiny place in the great expanse of the universe and discovering that somehow there is a tiny little spark, the essence of each of us that is connected to all that is. We are not alone, not just individuals. We are part of everything. And all that we have and hold so dear, our possessions, our attachments, our relationships, are limited, temporary, and finite. We can't take them with us. In fact, so often they hold us back and blind us to what really matters. Cynthia Bourgeau has written, "Some say that the great tragedy of human life is that we struggle so hard against that which, once yielded to, becomes the fulfillment of all that we've been longing for. Only after the terror of our own diminishment and annihilation, after the last scraps of clinging to life at any cost have been left behind, is it possible to truly live in hope." This is true hope, the hope we find at the end of ourselves. Many people, probably most people, only discover this as they die, when they die. But there is another possibility that spiritual traditions offer us, the option to live into this now, to taste and see what is good and rich and fulfilling beyond our wildest longings. But to discover this, to find it and live it, we have to learn to let go, to surrender. We have to release our grasp on our lives and fall into grace. The word in Greek is kenosis, self-emptying, self-giving. It's the spiritual work of a lifetime. We have these little moments when we see and know and can live it, but living with that level of freedom and abandon takes so much practice. We have to keep learning it again and again and again. Of course, life gives us lots of opportunities to practice in 1,000 different ways. But to seek to live this way intentionally, many spiritual paths have focused on asceticism, giving up possessions and material comfort and relationships as the way to train ourselves into this other way of living. But Jesus didn't live that way. Jesus was not an ascetic. He was accused of being a partier, a glutton and a wine bibber, they said in those old King James language. He ate and drank with all sorts of people. He lived life with joy and delight. Jesus embodied a free, wheeling, trusting generosity. His way of living and being said, life is good, life is rich, life is joyful, life can be trusted. And Jesus came to understand that he wasn't just meant to teach this way of living, he was meant to embody it, to reveal it in his very flesh and bones through his joyful and loving life, but also through his suffering and dying. His living and dying was the revelation of this truth, the sacrament that made real this grace. So he couldn't turn back. If God was the love he claimed God to be, then even in suffering and dying, there would be goodness and mercy. There was nothing to fear, not even rejection, not even suffering, not even a criminal's death on a cross. And so he gave himself to it. He set his face toward Jerusalem, Luke's gospel says, and he would not turn aside. In the words of the second chapter of Philippians, Jesus as the Christ revealed God's way of being to the world. God emptied God's self so that the world might be, so that we can be. And God became one of us, being faithful unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus, dying before he died and when he did die, giving himself faithful and loving and true. I've thought of a couple stories this week. I may have told them before, and if I have, they're good stories. They're worth hearing again. Krishna Das, the American hippie turned Hindu mystic and song singer, tells a story of his time in the late 60s when he went to India seeking a new way of being. He lived at an ashram with his guru named Maharaji. I don't know what his name was at that point, but the Westerners would try to get Maharaji to tell them what they should believe and what they should do, how they should live and pray. I think they wanted theology and catechism. But Maharaji would just listen and smile and meditate. And at his ashram, they welcomed everyone, they fed the poor, they housed the pilgrims, and they meditated. But the Westerners kept asking for more. One day, a new American seeker arrived, full of his earnest questions. Maharaji told him, go sit with the other folks from America and England. But the fellow kept persisting. And finally, Maharaji said, just go pray like Jesus. And they all said, but how did Jesus pray? Maharaji closed his eyes and sat in silence a long time. And then they noticed a tear running down his cheek, and he said softly, Jesus lost himself in love. He lost himself in love, gave himself, emptied himself, surrendered himself in love. That's it. That's the heart of Jesus' teachings. That's what we're all called to do. That's how we follow him. Dying before we die, losing ourselves in love, living into the freedom and the mercy of love. Jean Bartlett was one of the saints of my church in Rochester. She was an elderly woman whose husband, Dr. Jean Bartlett, had been an American Baptist pastor and at one time was president of Colgate Rochester Crozier Divinity School. Her children told me they used to call themselves the pair of Jeans. I never knew Dr. Jean, but I had the privilege to know and love Jean. When she died, her children shared a story she had found not too long before that had become very meaningful to her. It's a story about trapeze artist. Picture high-flying trapeze artists. There are the flyers, those who get the glamour of swinging and doing tricks and flying through the air. And there is the catcher on the other side, swinging back and forth, whose job is to tell them how to time their swinging and to tell them when to let go. The catcher has to do the catching. If a flyer tries to grab on to the catcher's hands, the flyer will slip and fall. The flyer has to reach out and trust the catcher to catch them. The flyer cannot grasp on. They have to let go and allow themselves to be caught. That is faith. That is our hope. Learning to fly, learning to trust the catcher, to trust the coaching that comes, and learn to let go, to fly free and fall into love and grace. We come to this table we call the Lord's Supper, communion. And when we come to this table, we remember his dying, his giving himself to us, and we remember our call to die before we die. If anyone would follow me, he said, they must take up their cross and follow. Here we taste and see the reality of the goodness of God. Here we catch a flavor of the mercy. Here we find the hope to believe that beyond our dying, when we come to the end of ourselves, it is all good, it is all grace, it is all love.